Welcome to today's Perry Fairway. Let's Talk Dallas County program. My name is Joe Sierwinski. On today's program, I am privileged to be joined by Ann Cochran, the Health Navigator and Public Information Officer for the Dallas County Health Department. So, Ann, first of all, thank you once again for joining me today.
Thank you.
So, lots still to talk about regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. So let's just start at how we have been the last several weeks and talk about the latest response by the Dallas County Health Department on how you're trying to combat the coronavirus.
Well, we continue to encourage people to stay separated, to continue to wash hands, don't touch your face, all those things that we've been talking about. A couple new things are with the differences now in some of the guidelines for some counties in Iowa. There's a little bit of confusion, so it's really essential that people here in Dallas County realize Dallas County is one of the counties that we still are having lots of new cases of coronavirus, and it's important that we stay vigilant. So the restaurants are not going to be opening up for in-dining business, and we need to continue practicing the social distancing and the other health recommendations to slow the spread.
Absolutely. And you were mentioning when we were just talking off air that even though the restrictions have been lifted in other counties, maybe even neighboring counties, it's not recommended that people from this county go there, correct?
Right, and that was not at all the intention of those guidelines. We are pretty well surrounded by counties that are going to be opening slightly now, but it is not the intention that people in Dallas County go running across the county line to go to a restaurant or a bowling alley or whatever someplace else. Because of the amount of community spread of COVID-19 here in Dallas County, it's very, very likely that even if you're not symptomatic, you may have some germs. And if you go to some other county with your germs, you're going to potentially infect somebody else. And I don't think anybody would do that intentionally, but just because you are anxious to get out and go to a restaurant doesn't mean it's okay to go ahead and do that.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned that the community spread is still very much alive here in Dallas County. As recent as 2 weeks ago, the number in the county was around 40 or so, and now we're up closer to 200. Is that mostly a result of additional testing, or what would you attribute that jump to?
Well, it's some of both. There is indeed more community spread now. It's just getting out into the community more. But certainly the number of confirmed cases, part of the reason is that we have had a lot more testing. So that's certainly a factor that we know for sure that we've had a lot of confirmed cases. But we also just plain have more people that have become sick.
Okay. Now, as far as the testing is concerned, we've talked about it last week when it was first rolled out, but the governor's new Test Iowa initiative has obviously been very, very well used since it was rolled out. So remind people about what that is and how they can take advantage of it.
Right. So Test Iowa is a way for you to go online and do a short assessment. And the reason that they want you to do that is it gives crucial data that is needed to track how the virus is spreading. So they're going to find out who is most likely to have been exposed. And then part of that is after they assess you online, they will recommend that you get tested or that you at this time really don't need to be tested. And if it shows that you should be tested, you then are prompted to go on and look at the time slots that are available at some of the testing sites and schedule yourself a drive-through testing. And if you test positive, then that's the next step that the local Public Health Department, which is Dallas County Health here, goes ahead and contacts each person who tests positive for what's called contact tracing. So we can figure out where you may have picked up the virus and who you might have accidentally spread the virus to because of contact.
All right, so good program there. couple more questions here for you today. A lot of your time, I imagine, right now is spent basically in conversations, working alongside the staff at some of these locations that we've discussed in the past, like the long-term care facilities, the meatpacking plants. So talk about your interactions with those types of entities, which have really been a sort of hotbed for COVID-19 since it began.
Yeah, our role as the local public health entity is to inform and educate and link people to needed health services. We provide technical support to businesses in that we can provide education pieces both on paper form or on websites that are in a multitude of languages. And we can just connect human resource officers at various companies with various resources that they might need from the CDC or whatnot. And we're happy to do that. That's something that we do all the time anyway. But certainly during this time, we're offering guidelines on where they can go for help.
All right. One last question I have here for you is I'd like to just get your latest recommendations for something that you see walking or driving around on a regular basis is people wearing masks. So the latest recommendations on when masks should be worn and how to properly wear them even.
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you for bringing that up. I've been tempted to post, you know, a little piece saying how to not wear a face mask because I see so many bad examples. So it's important if you're wearing a face mask, especially just the cloth kind that you can make or buy inexpensively, the whole idea of it is you are trying to protect other people from being exposed to the droplets that are in your breath when we cough or sneeze, or even when we just exhale when we're speaking or breathing. The moisture in our lungs, those little droplets, is where the virus is. And it's important for your face mask to cover completely from the bridge of your nose, just under your eyes, clear down to under your chin. So you're totally covering both your nose and your mouth, and it should not gap on the sides. I know some people will have one on, and then when they go to talk to somebody, their voice seems a little muffled, so they'll pull the mask down so they can be heard more clearly. And that totally defeats the whole purpose of the mask, because when you're speaking, the droplets are coming right out. And so it's important to leave the mask on. The first line of defense is stay home. If you have to go out for something essential like groceries or so forth, it's a good idea to cover your nose and mouth.
All right. Well, Ann Cochran with the Dallas County Health Department, anything else that you'd like to mention to our listeners today?
Oh, I don't think so. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me and for all the information. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's been today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program with Ann Cochran. You can find this program at raccoonvalleyradio.com. My name is Joe Serwinski with Raccoon Valley Radio News. Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable.